Hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Mark. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we hear your word, may the eyes of our hearts be opened. In the name of Jesus, amen. As you're seated, look at the person next to you and say, "God loves you, and so do I." Well, when you were growing up, did you ever play Follow the Leader? First, a leader or the head of the line, right, is chosen, and then the children all line up behind the leader. And the leader then moves around, and all the children have to mimic the leader's actions. Any players who fail to follow or do what the leader does are out of the game. It's a really fun game to play after you've been singing karaoke for a few hours. When only one person other than the leader remains, that player becomes the leader, and the game begins again with all players joining the line once again. The goal of the game is to be the head of the line, to make decisions of movements and rule the line with an iron fist, because you're the leader of the line and no one will take your place. So the measure of greatness is to be a leader that keeps everyone else in line and in their place. Well, we hear the word leader and leadership all around us, don't we? Our community has more boards and agencies with set-apart leaders than the city of Fort Lauderdale. Most of us have been set apart to lead something in our lives. Leadership is a trait that's good, and healthy organizations look for healthy traits in leaders so their organization can be fruitful and make an impact. No one wants to be a part of a sinking ship. In today's text, Jesus asked the disciples a simple question. What were you arguing about on the journey? And then there was a murmur in the room, because Jesus knew they had been talking about which one among them was the greatest. Jesus used the opportunity to explain real measures of greatness. He said to them,
Whoever wants to be first must be the least of all and the servant of all. He then picked up a little child and said, "And whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes me." Well, that sounds sweet to us, but Jesus was telling it like it is to his disciples. For the follower of Christ, real and effective leadership takes place in the form of a servant. Throughout his life and his leadership, Jesus affirmed that God is not looking for leaders in the worldly sense, but leaders who are servants who will let him be the leader and who will focus on the kingdom of God. As followers of Christ, God will always be at the head of the line. Let's think about the biblical story for just a moment. When God came to Abraham, God had the plan, and Abraham was instructed to carry it out according to God's promise. When God came to Moses, God provided leadership to this shy, retired, old man. And he led his people through the wilderness. When God came to Mary, a poor peasant girl, she surrendered to God's will, and she undertook the role of being a servant leader and mother for God's only son. When God came to Paul, God led this passionate man to spend the rest of his life fulfilling his leadership role to the Gentiles, proclaiming the gospel for all people. And when God was the leader and these faithful people were servants, God's will was done. On the flip side of the coin, for those of us who have been leaders in secular society, we can be tempted to bring in the typical societal ways to measure our discipleship and Christian leadership by secular standards. And there's nothing wrong with secular standards at all. But the church is not a secular institution. In the life of faith, whenever we become the leader and try to make God the follower, things don't work out. If we want to be significant servant leaders, we have to recognize that it's all about God, and it really never is about us. An old Yiddish saying says, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I know I'm not the only one who's been there before. Our greatest example of servant leadership is found in Jesus himself. Jesus was given a mission by God, the Creator, to redeem the world, and his earthly ministry did not consist of an elaborate boardroom with a stacked staff. He called fishermen that were teenagers. He did not stray far away from the people that he served, sitting high and mighty in a corporate office, but rather, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and he ate with sinners. He broke the rules of the society to usher in the kingdom of God, to extend God's love to both Jews and Gentiles, men and women, lepers and children, you name it. And as followers of Christ, we are all leaders. And if we want to follow the mandate Jesus gave us, we must serve rather than be served. When Jesus shares with his disciples that when they welcome and serve children, they not only welcome Jesus himself, but they welcome God, the one who sent Jesus into the world. And this time, slaves and children were subordinate members of the household. They were made to serve the male head of the household in whatever ways was mandated to them. The disciples could have heard this message from Jesus as offensive, but he uses it to emphasize that their jockeying for greatness means nothing. What does mean something is serving the low and the least of these, serving all people, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, no matter what. In this text, Jesus is not only identifying with the helpless or the most vulnerable family members so that they may be helped, he is trying to get his disciples to humble themselves and rid themselves of the usual hubris and power struggles for dominant position and serve even a child, even a slave, a humiliating task in the minds of ancients and his disciples. When Shane Claiborne visited Mother Teresa in Calcutta, he shared this story. He said, when entering the church to worship, it was customary for everyone to remove their shoes. Aren't you glad we don't do that? But when entering the church to worship, it was customary for everyone to remove their shoes. And it was during these times that he noticed Mother Teresa's feet were very deformed. So deformed, in fact, that he thought it was due to leprosy. He didn't dare ask. And one day, while talking to one of the other sisters, the subject came up. The sister asked Shane if he had noticed Mother Teresa's feet. And she went on to tell him that they get donations of shoes only once in a while, and there are only just enough for each person to get one pair. And when the shipments come in, Mother Teresa would sort through all of the shoes, and she would look for the worst pair to wear. And she would claim the worst pair for herself. Mother Teresa said she never wanted anyone to wear a pair of shoes that were in worse shape than her own. Now she is a powerful figure. Whoever wants to be first must be least of all and servant of all. This story reminds me of one of the most meaningful passages in the Gospels that's found in John 13. And it's the story that takes place on the Passover before Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And when that happened, Jesus took on the form of a slave. All the disciples came to the room that they would be celebrating the meal. And as they entered into the door, Jesus stepped down and he told them to take off their shoes. And he had a towel and a basin filled with water. And I'm sure they looked at him like they thought he had lost his mind, because Jesus was taking on the form of the lowest person in the household. It was the slave's duty to wash the feet of guests that came over. And here they were, after their long journey of following Jesus, having done some incredible things, having had some incredible arguments, having jockeyed for the highest and greatest place, and they show up at the door, and here is their Lord that they had hoped was going to be high and mighty, ruling over all people with an iron fist. Here he was with a towel and a basin, and here they were with dirty sandals and calloused feet. Again, they would have seen this as offensive. So Peter says, Jesus, you're not washing my feet, buddy. Oh, no. Jesus says, well, what? I am going to wash your feet. And sarcastically, he says, well, why don't you wash my hands and my head while you're at it? Because they just didn't get it. But Jesus, taking on the form of a slave, taking this towel and basin, removing their sandals, even in the fact that Jesus knew that they weren't all clean, he even knew that some of these persons were going to betray him. But he washes their feet. He gives his whole self up for them. And he does it for us as well.
Now, I'm not naive. I've been to way too many talks on leadership where I have wondered what world the speakers were living in. Servant leadership is not easy. And in the humanity of Jesus, I have to believe that servant leadership at times was not easy for him as well. Lots of things get in the way from wanting to serve as a servant. In a room this size, some of us have been victims of abuse. In a room this size, some of us have endured the pain of verbal and emotional abuse from a viper's tongue. In a room this size, some of us have been pushed down so hard at times that some days we wonder how we are still standing and we just want to be left alone. Some of us are so ashamed of our past that it is hard for us even to confess our sins. And we hear a passage like this that instructs us to be servant leaders, and we wonder if there is any part of us that we have left to give, much less give freely and vulnerably and broken. But the hope of being a servant leader is found in this story. Every time Jesus squeezed the towel and scrubbed a foot of one of his disciples, a little bit more of their pain was washed away. A little bit more of their pain of walking through life was washed away. A little bit more disappointment, a little bit more misunderstanding, a little bit more of self-sufficiency, a little bit more of self-control as he scrubbed that pain was washed away. Jesus desired for them to enter the room made whole of their past hurts and pain, to approach his table and his meal a little bit more whole. And it is uncomfortably intimate for us to think that the God of the universe would care so much. Not only would he feed us with life eternal and the bread of life and the cup of salvation, but he would care so much about us that he would scrub our calloused feet. It was in the washing and scrubbing that we encounter the measure of greatness for a servant leader. And this morning, over 2,000 years later, we come in the room of this beautiful church and we approach the same table that Jesus himself consecrated for us. And it's not just a ritual. Jesus is here in action, real time. And as you approach the table of the Lord today, imagine that Jesus is at the foot of the steps, taking your feet, opening up the towel, scrubbing away the pain of your past, enabling you to be okay with being a servant leader. And allow Jesus to wash those things away and allow Jesus to feed you. At some point, the bucket from the foot washing that night had to be dumped out. Scripture doesn't say who did it, but I would like to believe that it was Jesus who dumped out the water. And then he watched that filthy water roll away into the earth. And in that moment right there, that's where we see the measure of greatness. Jesus washes us clean. And that measure of greatness is here in basin and in towel, in bread and in wine. Christ is serving you. And may something today, despite what has happened in your life, lead you to take the step And may something lead me to take the step to be a servant leader of Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. There's an insert in your bulletin.